Blog Talk Radio.
Remember forever, this is one of them. No more Michael Roosevelt, no more shopping cart checks in front of the net, no more Roosevelt. And we get, as Eddie said, the Polish prince. I don't care if we got a pound of Polish sausage. We got a deal, ladies and gentlemen. Glenn Sather, you magnificent bastard, you did it again. Holy crap. He waves his arms. Don Maloney does what he tells him, takes his garbage. What a beautiful day. And I'm here in Phoenix. I'll be meeting Michael Roosevelt at the plane to thank him, to help him get his bags, whatever he needs, Eddie. It's a wonderful, wonderful day.
I just don't know how Mr. Magoo does this. What a great trade. That brings back talent, and we unload that contract. We gain more cap space. I mean, I love it. Now, listen, I was here last week and defending Roosevelt. I still defend him. He got a bum deal from a lot of Ranger fans. But that contract was, superlatively ludicrous. And the fact that they unloaded it and got some talent back. Now, I know... Wojtek Volski struggled a little bit this year, but this kid is a former number one pick. He's produced his whole career, so don't give me any of that he's a problem child. He's like Jared Dev Murray here. And the fact that they got they got anything.
I don't care.
This guy.
I don't care if he is like Jared Dev. You're going to tell me. I don't care if he is like Jared Dev. You're gonna tell me you're not gonna trade Jared Dev's production for Jared Dev's production? We'll take it. I don't care. Take it. Whatever. Give me back Nigel Dawes. I don't care. Get rid of him. I want him gone. He can't get on that plane fast enough. I just hope he doesn't hurt himself getting on the plane so that the Coyotes void the trade. That's all I worry about. Put him in an armored plane. I want him escorted by F-15 jets all the way to Phoenix. I want a nice, safe touchdown, and I want him escorted off the plane, put in an armored car, and driven to the jobbing.com arena, and then we do this, just like a blackjack dealer. Thanks for the action, folks. I'm out. Good night, Michael Roosevelt. It's been a blast. All right, now that being said, we do have a guest. So let's welcome in Travis Hare from Five for Howling. He's been on with us before when we did the live remote from the jobbing.com arena last year when the Rangers played the Coyotes. Travis, as you can hear, we're a little ecstatic about this trade. How are you this evening? Welcome to the program.
Oh, doing good. I'm glad you guys are excited, but you're going to give me a call again in a month after you've seen how many mishandles Wolfsky has, and we'll see how you're feeling then.
I don't care. Come on.
Travis,
you were complaining about when he
care.
Had his last year.
I don't
last
care.
Last year was great, but what really happened with him was we traded him for Peter Mueller, who's now out for the Avalanche with another concussion, and they basically had the same amount of production this year.
I listen.
Travis, you let me know.
I'm the Polish prince. He's not even a Polish sausage over there in Phoenix, but the Polish prince has arrived.
In a month, when you've seen Roosevelt give that little soft shopping, pushing a shopping cart check to Matt Duchene in front of his own net, and then Duchene scores a goal, and you're thinking, well, I wouldn't mind having the Polish prince back right about now.
Well, the fact of the matter is I don't know what was happening with him in New York, but if he plays like that, he's going to be sitting in the press box again, and Oliver Ekman-Larsson will be playing, and it won't be any different than it is right now.
That's
fine. Wojtek Wolski was sitting up in the... sitting up in the press box half the time anyways.
Well, that's fine, too. Whatever. I'm so glad he's your problem now.
Now, Travis, in all seriousness, if we can for one second, why would in the hell the Phoenix Coyotes want Michael Roosevelt?
Well, they've got, for as much as they talk about the defensive system, ever since we lost Zibanejad and McCulloch in the offseason, the defensive line back line hasn't really been that great. We've got Derek Morris, Ed Jovanovski, Keith Yandle is a special player, but there's only one. And then you've got guys like Adrian Acoin, but then those last two pairing, that's Pisto and Oliver Ekman-Larsson right now with David Schlemko, who nobody's heard of, getting some time here and there. So there's really kind of towards the bottom. If someone gets hurt, at that last pairing, it's just kind of thin. So that's why we would look for a guy like that. We're not looking for him to do much except be a stay-at-home defenseman. That's all we need him to do, because we've got plenty of guys who can kind of sneak up into the play and be that offensive guy. We don't have too many defensive guys at this point.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, Roosevelt, and I'm going to take a lot of flack from the Ranger fans. He can log a good chunk amount of ice time. And he goes through his funks, he doesn't. But if you want a guy that's just going to play steady defense, and, whether it's good or bad defense, but a guy who will log a lot of minutes and really not stink the joint up, I think that's a good move by them.
Well, that's what we're looking for him to do. Well, he'll probably be a fourth defenseman, if not a 5-6. So, we're not looking for him to be anything super. We basically exactly what you said. We're just looking for him to chew ice time, is what I think they want him to do.
Do you need a penalty killing center iceman? Is Chris Drury still available?
No. No, we do not.
We could we could do that for you,
No thanks.
Although he has that no movement clause.
He does the little things.
We're set at center unless we can find something for Eric Belanger, but Martin Hansel, I think, is a perfectly good penalty killing centerman.
Yeah. So what is it? Volsky's got 2 years left on his deal.
Yeah, he just signed a deal this offseason. He's got 2 years left. So, you guys got him for another year. He signed it based off of basically what he did after the trade deadline last year and then came in and, some people want to blame the coaches, some people want to blame him, but the fact of the matter is he wasn't working as hard as he did last year. Any Gabe Tippett team is going to have the backbone of it is hard work.
Well, that's what I've been hearing.
Up and down the line.
Yeah,
and
that's
so,
what I've heard, that his work ethic has been, less than stellar over in Phoenix.
And that was the knock on him when Colorado traded him to us. They said the same thing about him coming here as we did about Mueller going there, is that they just kind of coasted and counted on their skills, because he's an excellent puck handler. He's an excellent. He's got a lot of talent. There's just something he's not pushing enough to get himself to that next level.
Oh. Okay. Well, very good. That's good to hear. I mean, maybe you could be a little more specific. Maybe, you know, during the good times, post-trade deadline last year, what did you really, what did you see that, what's the best parts of his game?
Well, his stick handling is excellent. He can make a lot of moves that you just, you wonder where those came from, because you'll see flashes of it. But he'll weave in and out of guys' pucks through other guys' legs, trying to move that you're just like, wow, that's really great. He's got a good wrist shot when he can get in close, and he can get goals from nearly impossible angles on the blue line or on that deep line. So I mean, there are some very good parts of his game. It's getting him to do it consistently that becomes the problem.
And I just want to ask one more thing. And now that he's been, you know, in the Shakhtar Bow Wow and sat out a lot of games, is it basically his effort that's been the real down, the down thing on him this year? Or is he,
that's pretty much been the knock on him, is that you'll see him in the lineup, but you don't see him on the ice. You don't see him doing anything. And then you'll see it for a few seconds in the game, and then you won't hear his name for the rest of the time. Like, there's nothing that he gets that I can remember him specifically getting, like, burned on defensively or anything like that, but he would just be invisible. And so that's what would end up getting him in the press box, because that's, like I was trying to say, on a Dave Tippett team, if you're not performing, it doesn't matter who you are, he'll scratch you. He'll get someone in there who will. And so that's why he ended up in the press box. It was just because he wasn't, and it must have been in practice too, that he just wasn't putting in that extra oomph that other guys were, because there's so much young talent in the farm system and on this team that you just can't, anyone who tries to coast is gonna be seeing the door.
Oh, that'll be interesting, because the Rangers are a very young team. I can't believe I'm saying that. The Rangers are a young team, and Tortorella, you know,
he just drives to the tunnel.
Yeah, really. What was that?
That was a helicopter headed for Sky Harbor.
Oh, excellent.
That was Michael Roosevelt. He drops his feet.
That was Roosevelt's helicopter bringing him in.
He dropped him for a parachute, like a piece of cloth.
he's apparently meeting the team in Columbus tomorrow.
Oh, then I can't go and meet him at the airport. Damn.
Yeah. But, no, that's what confuses me, too. You were trying to talk about Tortorella. I don't understand, because he's going from one hard-nosed coach to another hard-nosed coach. I don't know how that's going to change a whole lot for him, and especially since New York's a bigger pressure market. Maybe he can thrive there. Maybe he can't. I don't know. But his agent said that he requested a deal because he wasn't getting the ice time he thought he deserved. And so, I mean, I don't know how that's going to work out with Tortorella.
Yeah, you're right. That could be a factor. You're going from a taskmaster to a taskmaster who's going to chastise you right away, and he's certainly not going to give it to demands of, well, I want this amount of playing time. I mean, that's...
Yeah. I mean, if he thought he had it hard here, I mean, Tippett is an intense guy, but he's quiet. Tortorella will tear into somebody if they're not doing their job. So I don't get what the upside for Wolski is there, but apparently he thinks there is one. So.
All right. Well,
I have one more. Travis, does he play how's his physical game? Does he play physical? Does he shy away from it? Not at all.
He's a dangler. He'll throw a check now and then, but he's not an overly physical player. He's got okay size, but let me put it this way: Kyle Turris throws more hits than Wolski does.
Okay. What about on the power? How is he on the power play?
I haven't seen him on the power play too much, simply because of late there's just been more people that have earned that time.
Okay.
He's got a good shot down low, so if they play him on a low wing, he could probably do some good. But he's it all depends on what player he decides to be, because then he, because on the power play he could be really dangerous because he can make that extra move that can really fake a guy out of the skates and get in close into the slot. But the, it just depends on which Wolski he decides to be.
Okay. Fair enough.
Well, good luck with Michael Rosewall.
I appreciate it. I hope he can block some shots or just eat some ice time.
Yeah, I can't believe how many people are so giddy that Roosevelt's gone. To me, the contract is a big thing. I didn't think he was a bad player.
Yeah.
I've certainly seen worse in the 30 years plus that I followed this team. So
that's what I thought looking at the numbers is the contract seemed out of whack in terms of being a $5 million cap hit. Just seemed kind of weird for the player that from the numbers it looked like we were getting, but with being at the last year of his deal and in terms of real cash only being I think $3 million is what I heard, that's not a bad pickup for the Coyotes for this year, because if he plays well he can get a decent deal at the end of the year, and if he doesn't then we'll just bring someone else in.
Yeah, well, like I said, I hope it works out, but she's really paying him off. Yeah. Now listen, as long as I don't have to see him, it's not even that I have to see him. It's going to be interesting now what the Rangers will be doing going forward now. Me and Jim were talking about it previous. Now, does this set up there's a couple scenarios. One is, I guess in the immediate thing, is that Emminger would step up to the fourth slot and become the Rangers' fourth defenseman, or... you're going to have maybe Rangers make a play for a veteran defenseman with some of the money that they had, or this, according to our friend Jim Cerny, who's not really a friend of ours, but he says this may be all set up to get Brad Richards at the trading deadline. And he works for MSG, and then like Jim was telling me before, even though I said to the contrary, he may know something that we don't know.
My thing is why would you move defensemen to get Richards in? That's my question. You guys, with the injuries you've had up in terms of forwards, why start shipping out defensemen to get more wingers in anticipation of that trade? That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
Well, I think the Rangers feel that they have enough talent. I mean, listen, you know, I'm a big time Ranger fan. I believe in the Rangers, but the Rangers are not winning the Stanley Cup this year. And I believe that they feel that they can bring up another defenseman, you know, either keep McDonough up or bring Valentino or Delzato is in the minors now. But they have the 6-7 guys that can play and keep, you know, not be a detriment back there. And their problem is scoring with skill. They don't have very skilled players, and I think that's why they got Volsky. He's especially with Frolov going down, it definitely addresses the need. So I think the Rangers are pretty happy with their defense. And when you got Henrik Lundqvist back there, that makes your defense, you know, even that much better. You know, just like you guys know with Brizgalov. It's, again, it adds so much more. So,
Here he comes.
You live next to the heliport?
No, I'm about a mile, 2 miles from Sky Harbor. I'm not in Compton. That's not very nice.
Got the ghetto birds
like
flying around down there. What did you
do?
Anyway. All right, Travis. Well, listen, I know you didn't have much time for us. We appreciate you coming on with us. We're going to let some Ranger fans get on here and get their thoughts on the deal. But best of luck with Mr. Roosevelt. All the best.
Yeah.
All the best to you guys,
enjoying
too. Hope
him.
To talk to you again soon. I will, since you seem to be our only trading partners.
So. That's true. Yeah, well, yeah, we might be talking to you in a week or two.
Pretty much.
All right. Take it easy, Travis.
You too.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
City Hockey Fever has informed us that Volsky's Twitter account was shut down. Maybe that's Rosasco working his magic right away.
The minute he got off the plane at JFK, they took his BlackBerry. Let's see what you got here. Twitter, now delete that. Facebook, yep, delete that. MySpace, what the hell are you doing with it now? We'll delete that. And here, let me delete somebody's phone numbers. Texting, we'll turn that off. Welcome to New York, Mr. Volsky.
Oh, God. So it looks like I got to say, by this massive chat gathering, yeah, everybody's just, you know, don't let the door hit you with a good Lord split you, Rosie. This is what it is. I mean, listen, I'm glad because these contracts just kill me. The Redden contract killed me. The Rosie contract killed me. And to have, I don't know how Seda does it. I don't know how he does it, because why would you take Roosevelt just for the contract? It's, you know, unless you got some, you know, cap space that you need to get to the league minimum. But that's not the case with the Coyotes, I don't believe. So
cap space, they might have more likely to have a crawl space they want him to clean out. It's about the only space he's good for.
So how happy are you?
And I'm not letting Travis spoil my buzz either. I don't care what he says about this guy. I'm excited. I am pleased as punch, as you would say, that he is with us.
So am I. I like the guy. I told you earlier in the show. I said I followed this guy. Well, you know, and he's a former first-round draft pick, so there's another first-rounder you can add onto the roster.
Yep.
You know, he gets a lot of assists, and, you know, fans now clamoring for a Drury rant. What if we rant about Drury like we did about, well, you guys did about Roosevelt? Maybe Drury will get bought out.
He's next. What did I tell you? He's the only one left on the lifeboat. He's the only one left on the contract Titanic. He's the only. Right now, he's sitting around thinking, I had Gomez here, I had Redden here, I had Roosevelt. Now it's just me and my pizza place. I got nothing. Now it's all on me. I mean, really, it is. Now he's the only. You look at that roster and you go, you only look at one and you go, there's the bad contract. There he is. We're in the sea for cash.
Yep.
I think he'd love it in Phoenix. I really do. They're dying for more good pizza places out here. Dying for him. He could play little. He could play little league baseball all year long. We got nice weather. He'd love it. He'd love it. Get me Don Maloney.
And I'm all down with the Polish prince. And even if he's a Polish sausage, like you said, man, it comes down to that contract, which was weighing heavy on my heart, Miss Crabtree. I mean,
all right.
And before we bring the phone calls, I was just saying, it's another move towards youth. It's not like they got an aging guy. And I got to say there is a genius recently with trades. But that, the free agent market, there's somebody's got to take over for that. But I'd rather take, that, because that can go away if you don't sign the guys to long-term contracts, which this was all about, And it looks like Frolov is not going to play ever again. He's got more injuries in his knee than I ever heard. It's like three different injuries he tore in there. So,
he tore everything. But I'll tell you what, and I said this to you yesterday when we talked on the phone. I was on his case 4 weeks ago when those comments that he may or may not have said came out that he didn't want to be there anymore and he was complaining about his ice time, and I made the joke, Frolov, no more of. But I gave him a lot of credit for as bad as he tore his knee up, to even getting back out on the ice and trying to take a shift. So best of luck to Alex Frolov. I mean, tonight's all about goodbyes. I mean, goodbye, Alex. Goodbye, Michael. Everybody, goodbye. And now there's one man left in the lifeboat.
Yeah, you're right. One more left.
So, with the phone calls, if you want to. Marcy Braverman has joined us. Nice to see. And we've got an unbelievably full chat room. We appreciate all of you being here. You guests, there's a ton of guests. If you guys want to join the chat room, all you got to do is register with Blog Talk Radio. It takes a minute. It doesn't cost you anything. You can get in on the chat. We'd love to have you. We're glad you guys are here. We welcome you to Blue Shirt Banner Radio. We're going to get to the phone calls. And if there's one phone call that we have to take first, you know who it's got to be. Tonight of all nights. It's got to be Rock, but first, here's a little something for Rock. Rock, good evening, buddy. How are you?
Gentlemen, if you could see the smile on my face, it would make the Grinch very proud, let me tell you. I am happier than pig, and you know what? I can't even begin to tell you how happy I am. I almost fell off my bed. I almost tore my other shoulder up. I was screaming and yelling so loud. You have no idea the feeling of freedom that I have as a Ranger fan, knowing that noose has finally been removed from around our necks. And you said it correct, Jimmy. We have one man left in the lifeboat. And this is all moving in the direction that we want because Sayonara El Capitan is next.
He's trilingual.
Unbelievable.
As soon as I posted the story on Blue Shirt Banner and it went to Twitter, almost instantaneously I had a tweet back from Rock. Jimmy, our dreams have come true.
Free at last! Free at last!
Unbelievable. I'll tell you, if I ever see Sather on the street, I'm giving him the biggest hug imaginable. He is amazing. He has like a he's Darth Vader. I can't explain how he does it all the time. Signs these bad contracts after bad contracts after bad contracts, and he figures out a way to unload these bums. It just never ceases to amaze me. And you know, I just don't know what to say. I'm elated. I'm like happy. I'm floating on air right now. You have no idea, guys. I'm so excited with this move to get this guy out of here. It's such a great feeling. I wrote up on Facebook. I said it feels like Christmas morning, New Year's Eve, and the last day of school all rolled up into one. That's how good I feel right now. I feel fantastic. Oh man, what a gift. I mean, oh God, I don't know how to explain it. I really don't. It is amazing.
When you heard that it was for Wojtek Wolski, what did you think? Or you were just like, he's off the team.
Listen, guys, listen, this is how I look at this. And all kidding aside, the kid is 24 years old. Again, he's another one of these reclamation projects, and we've seen how well these reclamation projects haven't worked. Chris Higgins, Kotalik, Zhirdev, I mean, the list goes on and on with these guys that come in here and who are coming off bad seasons, and very rarely, ever Leeson, they never find it in New York. I'm hoping I'm wrong. That being said, he's making $3.8 million. Already you're saving $1.2 million off the cap of next year. The upside for this is two things. One, he's probably, even if he doesn't have the greatest season, he's most likely tradable because he's going to have 1 year left and they hold the rights to him. So if there's a team maybe wanting to take on a salary, or he's not making a ridiculous amount of money for his age and his past production. He's not priced out. Roosevelt was priced out. I mean, you know, he was just worth way, way, way more than his production warranted or his type of player would make on the open market, so to speak.
Right.
This kid, if he has a bad season, he's still possibly tradable. Also, I mean, he can, you know, I guess they could put him on waivers and they could just kiss the money goodbye. Because as far as I'm concerned, whatever you got back for Roosevelt was a bonus. That's how I look at it. Whatever you got back for this guy was a bonus. If you got nothing back from it, wouldn't matter. But,
you make a great point, and you're going right into damage control like all good Ranger fans do during a trade. Always looking for the out. But listen, you're right. It's a win already. Roosevelt is gone in this contract. Now, I have a little bit. I think this Volsky's going to be good. I really think so. If you look at his stats in Colorado, he played very well. He played very well when he came over to Phoenix after the trading deadline. He stuck the joint up this year. He's got 6 goals. How many more goals is that than Froloff?
They have the same exact numbers, but Volsky's played in 5 less games. But they have almost identical statistics across the board.
Well, I can tell you already. I can tell you what Froloff was going to do with the rest of his season here. I mean, the guy was, you know, no more wraparounds. We're going to see.
Hey, listen, we got to give him a pat on the shoulders too, because without him getting hurt, this trade might not have happened.
Yeah,
so you got to give Froloff a tap on the back too for helping us with this deal also.
That's
so
true.
Yes.
We'll do that for you. You got a bum shoulder.
Oh, but gentlemen, I'm so happy right now. I don't know what to say. I'm actually speechless for one of the first times in my life. I can't explain it. But like I said, this was. I'm excited about this kid coming in, and believe it or not, this was such a big deal that Voltek Volsky was actually trending like top spot on Twitter for a while, which was amazing. I mean, that's how big of a deal. I mean, to probably everyone else. I mean, it's a who the hell is this guy? I mean, to an average hockey fan, they go, who the hell is this guy? But to a Ranger fan, I mean, just the fact of getting Roosevelt, like, who the hell did we get back for Roosevelt? You know, and then probably everyone was curious at who we got.
Ranger fans would have taken Peter Peruka back for.
Oh, I would have taken Peruka, Jigel Dawes, Jamie Lundmark, every first round reject you could imagine for him.
Jason Strudwick.
Absolutely.
I mean, even Derek Morris, I would have taken back. So,
God.
You know.
But you guys are right. I'm sorry, I interrupted.
It's a glorious day.
It's a fantastic day. It's going to go down in Ranger lore as one of the greatest days in history of the franchise. Unbelievable. At least in my opinion.
From you and Jim, just so you know, this is even more ecstatic than Redden getting sent down. That Roosevelt, I didn't realize that Roosevelt was this.
I didn't want him back in the first place. When they re-signed him, I was pissed beyond belief. And I'm like, what the hell are they doing? Because if you remember, they re-signed Roosevelt before they signed Redden. He was,
yeah,
I think, the first free agent they signed.
On that clip on thing where that whole shebang there, those 5 losers they signed.
New York Rangers have agreed to terms with Aaron Voros, Patrick Rissmiller, Steve Valiquette, Michael Roosevelt, and Wade Redden.
God!
Unbelievable. What about Zaza with the, you know, talk about genius trades. Talk about genius trades. What about Aaron Voros for Emminger? How about that one? Oh, my God. You know, all the years we wanted this guy fired. He's looking like a genius. More and more, every trade is better than the next.
Emperor Palpatine, I'm telling you.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
I don't know
how he does it. But like you guys said, I mean, the last guy in that boat, and you know, he's there. And he, I mean, I don't know if you guys read some of Tortorella's quotes on from the post game practice today, but basically, Jury is a face-off specialist and a penalty killer. That's it.
Well, they said the other night during the one of the telecasts over the weekend that Tortorella took him aside in practice and said, you're now our utility forward. So he's Fred Stanley. or for those of you, you know, if you're a little bit younger than, you know, if you're not old enough to remember Fred Stanley, he's Jose Iaquinta. He's Joe McEwing.
Unbelievable.
He's super
great.
I mean, $7 million for Lenny Harris, like Eddie said.
You know what, guys? Honestly, I mean, if you look at the big picture, and we discussed this last week, if this isn't an indication that Drury is pretty much done as a Ranger, I don't know what is. I mean, you can't justify. I mean, if I'm him, obviously he's not going to retire, but I would say, listen, see if you can find a team that wants me. I mean, look what Phoenix did. I mean, this is exactly what I was talking about. They took on now, Phoenix is not a team that's going to spend to the ceiling. We all know that. They have their ownership issues. They're dealing with a lot of stuff there. They don't have the revenue that the Rangers have and a lot of the other bigger markets have. But that was the perfect situation. Rangers were able to trade Roosevelt to a team that doesn't spend to the ceiling. Now, Roosevelt's only making $3 million next year, but his cap hits $5 million. So now Phoenix is basically, in hindsight, they're saving almost $800,000, almost $1 million, by trading Volsky to the Rangers, and they're getting that cushion on the salary, so they're above the salary cap floor. That's what I would suggest, if at all possible, you could do that with Drury. His cap hits $7.4 million. However, his salary for next year is $5.5 million, which is still a ridiculously amount of money for the amount of production that you're going to get out of him at this stage of his career. Now, that being said, if you could take back a little bit of money, I don't know, maybe even half. If you're going to buy him out, maybe get something back for him, take back maybe a few million dollars of maybe another reject that you could send to Hartford or whatever, maybe you can get this guy out of here. I mean, I know it's a tall order, and we're still gleaming in the glow of trading Michael Roosevelt, and I'm not, you know, saying I'm happy, so I'm not saying if Drury's here, he's here, but I'm just trying to throw that out there to play devil's advocate just to see if it's something that could happen down the road.
I agree with you. I think this is kind of, I mean, you know, little by little, you know, I made a joke about it, but little by little, the Rangers have managed to eliminate these bad contracts to underperforming players, and he's the only one left. And, you know, we make the joke, listen to the bell, it tolls for thee. You know, I think it's a real sign. You know, I think somehow, some way, they're gonna you know, figure out, you know, maybe they'll buy him out at the end of the year. I mean, the numbers aren't that bad, I don't think. So we'll see what happens. But for now, let's just we'll enjoy today and worry about that tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, Rocky. Hey. Listen, we'll take some of the calls, but
thank you.
But before we go, before I let you go, we had a request from the chat room, and I was able to find this really quick. So as we we'll play you out, Rock. Here you go. All right, Rock. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, boys. Be good.
Later.
Later.
Wow. See, everybody ecstatic.
My partner in rosy ecstasy.
Well, yes. I mean, listen. I'm glad too. I'm glad the Ranger fans are happy. We're winning. What are we riding? An 8-game winning streak. The best road team in hockey. I mean, I know it's only a half a season. You don't want to get crazy. But this is a team you could feel. Finally, I feel some pride saying I'm a Ranger fan. I mean, I always had pride, but for the team, and you know, they worked every night, and you know, before this wonderful Rosy news came down, we were talking about how great the weekend was.
Yeah, and we still want to talk about that, but we're just trying to.
But my thing is, what is this set up? Is this set up for them to get a veteran defenseman? A real solid guy in there? Does this set up, you know, like Jim Cerny said, making room to get Brad Richards? You know, what is this? Or is this just another statement that we're going to go young and we're going to dump, you know, all the bad karma, the bad garbage? Because really this is bad karma. Because, you know, you have all these young defensemen out there, and you have Redmond Roosevelt last year. although Roosevelt picked up his game in spots, and, you know, I'll always defend that, but certainly not worth the money. Redden, certainly not worth the money. Skating around there, just bad examples, bad karma, you know, horrific play. And now to be rid of those guys, you know, and go with the youngsters, this is just another a commitment by Tortorella and the organization. You know, we as much as we bash Sather, this is saying, listen, we're going to go where we're going to play our young guys, and this is it. And
well,
so
you know,
what do you think, I think
you hit the nail on the head all three times. You said, is it about a veteran defenseman? Is it about maybe going after Brad Richards? Or is it about playing the youth? I think it's all three. And I really think, and this is just me, this is just my opinion, I think what they're going to do is they're going to, what do we have? The trade deadline, if I'm not mistaken, is February 28th, right? So they've got time. There's no need to panic and rush into anything. I think what they'll do is they'll go the next three, maybe 4 weeks, see what they have, and if they're not happy, then they can make the move for the veteran defenseman. But at the same time, they've freed up the cap room if they want to make that run at Brad Richards. And at the same time, they'll get to play the youth. So I think you hit it all three times. I think it's a combination of all three. Because now they can do all those things, and they don't have to run right out and get a veteran defenseman. Why? I mean, really, they played without Roosevelt two games over the weekend. Saturday night against St. Louis, I thought they were absolutely stifling on defense. They gave up some shots in the second period, but what, they held St. Louis to two shots in the first period? Did they only have like two or three shots in the first period of that game?
Right,
I mean, they were all over the place. I thought McDonough was shaky in the first period of the Dallas game, and I thought after that he settled into his game, and he even said that before the St. Louis game that it was amazing how just having, or maybe he said it after the St. Louis game, he said that it was amazing how just having one game at that speed under his belt helped him so much more in the St. Louis game. I thought he played fine. He made a hell of a play on one of the goals where it looked like he got hurt, and then he stayed on the ice and made a play to get the puck out of the zone, and it led to a goal. I thought he was fine, and I mean, if I'm them, I don't do anything. Don't rush into anything. Take the next 4 weeks, see what you got, and then make your decision. Wait until the haves and have-nots have completely sorted themselves out, see who's going to be available, and then decide if it's worth it. Because, you know, right now, I don't want to give anybody up. I don't want to see anybody. Right. And there's nobody, except for one, there's nobody on this team that I really want to say, oh, he's got to go. Or they, you know, quite honestly, anybody they trade right now, except for one, I'm going to be disappointed. I'm going to say, geez, I hate to lose this guy. I hate to lose, you know, whoever, Michael Sauer, you know, just throwing a name out there. I hate to lose Brandon Prust or, you know, Boyle, whatever. I'd hate to lose anybody from this team. I love this team. You know how long it's been since I said I love this team? I love this team. I'm in love. Something's in the air. I love this team. It was exciting.
You guys take ecstasy before you get out of mental. It's just ecstasy that Roosevelt's gone.
But it's not just that. I told you when we talked over the weekend, I said I fully expect, and I never outright say, they're not going to win tonight. They're going to lose this game. They're going to lose that game. But I did not expect them to beat Dallas. Dallas, it's a good team. And I just thought, you know, they've had trouble there in the past. I think we all remember the 10-2 debacle from a couple of years ago. It's just they don't play well on some of these road trips. But a different team this year, much better on the road. They got the most road wins in the league, and they came out and played a fantastic game. And then I kind of thought, well, they got the 2 points here. I didn't expect. Now are they going to have the stinker tonight in St. Louis, because they usually don't play well against St. Louis either. And, you know, I know they're good on back-to-back nights, but still it was two road nights, you know, a little travel involved. And then they came out and took care of business in St. Louis. It's really, really got me very excited about this team. It really does. And, you know, I'm not delusional yet, but I'm very excited about this team. And, you know, you look at the standings, you know, they're only 4 points behind Philly with a couple of games against them coming up. And, hopefully, you know, they got to turn the tide on Philly, hopefully, at some point. But they're only 3 points behind those dirty, filthy Penguins. You know, And Crosby's out with a concussion, or as I called it, a yeast infection. So.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a big, people look at the, I see some things in the chat room that I want to, but anyway, I thought that Dallas game was a big, because all you hear from all the NHL people are, oh, the West is the best, the East is the least, and the West, and Dallas, you know, sitting atop their division, you know, with their James Neals and their Louis Eriksons and their, you know, all these guys we got to hear about. And I mean, these are no doubt these are guys again. Brad Richards, these guys are great players. Did you know that Brad Richards is a good passer?
I heard
Sam
that.
Sam Rosen and Joe Micheletti let me know that Brad Richards is a good passer probably about 5,000 times in that game. I know that Brad Richards is a good passer. What are you coming to these games that you think all fans of hockey don't know anything? What a passer, Sam. Look at the pass. Look at the pass. Hey, shut up, you mook. Anyway, I thought against Dallas they played fantastic. And then, like you, I thought, here comes the loss against St. Louis. And then they play St. Louis and they beat Halak. Again,
the Halak Ness monster.
and the Halak Ness monster and Zuccarello with the shootout win, getting the only goal. Was that against Dallas? Yeah, Dallas, right? No.
Yeah, the only goal of the shootout.
Come on, that was sick, man. The hands that he showed right in front of the top of the crease there, he basically stopped and just was like, boom, 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 and it was behind, and it was fantastic. How excited was everybody, man? I mean, I was totally like, I'm like, wow, you know, things are happening that I've never seen before.
And how about the pass he made to Derek Stepan on his goal in the St. Louis game?
Yeah.
I mean, it was such a great bang-bang play, and I mean, I don't see anything. You know, I know he's got his detractors out there, you know, one in particular I know of, but I don't see anything. I don't see anything out of him that says to me this guy can't make it in the NHL. I'm not saying he's going to be a 50 goal scorer, but you know,
Rangers fans are so impetuous and so picky when we've had so many bums come through this system that has shown nothing, and this guy comes out and scores some goals. And looks exciting and makes some terrific passes, and they're really poo-pooing him. I'm sorry, I interrupted.
I believe the pooing took place before he was even called up.
Right.
Was the poo-pooing on Zuccarello? But I'll tell you, I mean, it's been, I don't know, eight. I guess he's played about 8 games. You know, he's got, I forget now because I lost track, because he's got shootout goals, which don't count. For some reason, the wins count, but the points, the goals don't, which I don't get. But anyway, but I don't see anything from him that tells me this kid can't play in the NHL. I know it's only been 8 games, but he seems to have picked it up. I mean, I don't know. I would, you know, I kind of, you know, I would think that if he couldn't play, we'd know it already. You know, he'd look kind of lost out there, just, you know, taking shifts and, I don't know. I like his game. I don't see anything that tells me he can't play in the NHL. And again, I don't expect him to be a 40-goal scorer, but I think he can contribute. Certainly, he's got the moves. He's got hands. He's got speed. He's not afraid to go play physical. I mean, granted, he's only so physical a guy.
Yeah,
that's,
I mean, yeah,
you know,
I mean,
he's 5'7" and 86 pounds, but, you know, I've seen fatter bulimics, but, you know, I mean, he's not afraid. He doesn't shy away from it. I saw him throw a hit on somebody the other night. That was, you know, okay. He's not afraid to go get dirty.
You know, he's got to chip in, show that he's, you're not gonna. I don't get it. And then, you know, another thing I don't get. Now, listen, I don't want to ruin the Rosie's gone buzz.
Oh, you ain't ruin it.
Impossible. I'm never gonna ruin this. But and then I hear like these idiotic things on some of these message boards. Well, now that Rosie's gone, we can get Tootin back. I don't want that rootin' Tootin Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity on my team again. I'm sorry. He's sitting out in Columbus half the time. I mean, what is the... Ranger fans have to stop with the obsession about idiots that play for the team and are gone. Yeah. Look, Lori Corpatino, 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 Corpacoski. Why?
Yeah. You
sucks. Peter Prunka sucks.
You don't start a brand new day in your life by eating yesterday's leftovers. Let's move forward.
Yes. I don't want those. I don't care about Paul Mara. Oh, he has the best beard in hockey. Who cares? This is all barometer? Come on. Fred Shoestring. That's another one Cal was brought.
Daniel Briere's married. He's got the best beard in hockey.
Blair Betts. Blair from the Facts of Life hit more. You know what I'm saying?
You didn't get my joke.
I don't want a guy on my team named Blair. I'm sorry.
You didn't get my joke.
I missed it. I was in a message state.
I said Daniel Briere is married. He's got the best beard in hockey.
Oh. Hot tonight. Guy, he wants, let's get Jágr. Jágr? He got hit in the Olympics by Ovechkin. He was done in one shift. It was done for the tournament. What is the obsession?
Oh, Rock just brought up another one, and I've seen this. I've seen this from another Ranger blogger, Manny Malhotra. I sure wish we never got rid of Manny Malhotra.
Was Manny Malhotra?
Whatever.
We have to try for Malhotra. Well, Malhotra, at least to me, I mean, he's overpaid, but at least the guy can win faceoffs. The Rangers can't win faceoffs for crap. But we digress. You're right. Let's not go back. Let's move forward. I don't get it.
Martin
Rusinski. Martin Rusinski. Holy cow. Rhett Murray, why don't you bring him back?
Why don't we call Stefan Chernowski and see how his knee is? Maybe it's healed by now.
So, it's a great day for us Ranger fans. You know, it's funny. Usually you're happy when you acquire guys. We're happy when people are...
Do you see this chat room? They've immediately gone into the scrub roll call. Igor Liba from Mandar, Joseph Belay, Rico Fata, Jarkko Immonen. We have our own Scrubini roll call.
Jimmy Cross, oh boy.
Glenn Featherstone, there's a good one.
Guy, holy God.
Nobody mentioned Roman Indoor.
Yeah, Roman Indoor is your personal favorite.
Yes. Yes, Roman Indoor.
I don't know. Rob DiMaio. He was one of...
There's another one. Troy Loney.
Billy Tibbetts might have been the worst Ranger ever. I think even Karp said that he thought Billy Tibbetts was the worst Ranger ever.
I think he did say that, yeah.
So,
you ready for more phone calls?
Marcy's now making me laugh. Yeah.
All right, we got a couple of people on hold, but let's bring in Mandar. Mandar, good evening. How are you, buddy?
Good evening.
So how are you?
Sounds like a legendary day in Ranger history. You know, it's probably only I guess second to the day the late Willie Huber retired.
Now, are you disappointed that when you go to the game in Atlanta that you're not going to see Michael Roosevelt?
No, but I'm sure there may be some Roosevelt-like plays with the young defense, which you could actually, excuse from a crew like that. But I still think that in Phoenix, he's going to be looking for Jágr to pass to on the point on the power play, no matter what Trevor says.
Now, you see this as you were one of the persons in the chat room that says You see them going after becoming more veteran on the defense? You need that defensive...
Yeah, I mean, as much as I like the fact that we have a good young defense and crew, and it come, but when it comes down time to the end of the year, you got some of these younger guys that may just be running out of gas from the full season. You know,
it's a good
it's
point.
Only natural. So it would seem to me that you'd want a maybe a veteran presence, somebody who has a little bit of stature, somebody who can take a leadership role. I've seen some people mention in the chat room about Brian McCabe. I think he'd be a nice target, but really, what has Brian McCabe ever done? I mean, he's a name, but I don't really think he's the answer. I don't really know which veteran defenseman out there would have been some type of a calming influence. I'm thinking more of an Adam Foote type of defense, you know, a big,
yeah,
strong sixth defenseman, a stay-at-home type, somebody who's got some stature, somebody who can impart some knowledge onto the younger guys.
That's a good point about the younger defenseman wearing down from the long season. I hadn't even thought of that.
I mean,
that's
it's true
point.
That, you know, you get our top two, Girardi and Stahl, they're set in stone. I mean, who can complain about Emminger this year? But Sauer hasn't played a full year really in a long time just from the injuries. You know, if McDonough sticks, then he's going to be a guy that, you know, hasn't played a full year coming, you know, from the college ranks. So you've got a few guys on that defense that haven't really played the full, you know, season yet. Not to mention that the pressure goes up tenfold when you're coming down the stretch jockeying for position even before you get into the playoffs. So I think that's where a veteran guy can come in and you know, he doesn't have to be somebody who's going to, you know, make an impact on a power play necessarily, or somebody who's going to be, you know, putting up 20 minutes a night on the defense. It's just somebody who's there as an experienced voice, both in the locker room and somebody that the young defenseman can respect.
And Walker, New York Ranger, brought up somebody that I wanted to talk about Ottawa. Ottawa is now in fire sale mode. And he mentioned Gonchar. Now, I'm pretty sure that the Rangers couldn't afford Gonchar if they had any. It'll be interesting. Does anybody know out there, or perhaps maybe even you do, Mandar, or maybe somebody on Ottawa that would be, you know, something viable that you could use?
Their young guys are the... they're going to keep them close to vest. Anybody that give up is somebody, an overpaid veteran. I just saw, as a matter of fact, the Penguins just went up 2-0, by the way. Letang just scored. But they on their crawl on the bottom, they mentioned that Kovalev's out for a week with another injury. So I don't know about having them as a viable party. They're already, what, 12th in the conference, something like that? I mean, who are we going to get, really, that's going to somehow improve a team that's in our position right now? I don't see it. I mean, I'd love to get a Spezza, I mean, for a center, you know, a first-line center type of deal, but that's not going to happen. Even a veteran guy like Alfredson, who for some reason the people up in Canada absolutely hate, with the exception of Ottawa, and I'm sure Eric's out there loving Alfredson for all he's worth. But, I mean, somebody like that, I mean, a guy that can still play, still tough on the puck, and a guy that, you know, again, the veteran presence, I think that's the only thing we're lacking, because this is a why not kind of year right now. I mean, you know, 45 games in, you've adjusted your expectations. At the beginning of the year, nobody expected us to be in this position, I guarantee it. But then you adjust your expectations when you, you know, have the record that you have and you're playing the style that you're playing and you're having success.
Gonchar's got a pretty bad contract, Eddie.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I knew that.
3 years, 15
million time? Yeah, he's still got... this year, next year, and the year after at $5.5 million. And he's 36.
Yeah,
so.
Chris Neal, I see that. Chris Neal's a good, I like Chris Neal, but you know, how many of those guys can you really carry?
Yeah, I know. But Chris Neal would be a good guy to get in there. He fits right in, but you know, you already got Prost, Avery, you know, it would be tough.
Yeah, Andrew brings in a good guy, too. Mike Fisher, who I've heard that name a few times in various other chat rooms. And while Fisher, Phoenix Ranger, my direct, Fisher may not be going anywhere. He's a kind of a guy. You know, he's that playoff-tested, battle kind of guy that you'd want to go, you know, into the corners with, for sure.
Fisher, who's he married to, Mike Fisher?
Oh, is that the Is he the one that's, is that Carrie Underwood?
Carrie Underwood. Carrie Underwood. Yeah.
That makes a good fit. What's here? Somebody in the control room get us his stats there. I mean, cat pit and stuff. I want to know. I want Carrie Underwood. She'd come to Madison Square Garden all dolled up, sitting right next to Derek Stepan's mom. Give us another reason to watch the Rangers.
$4.2 million until the end of 2012-2013 season.
What do you guys think about that? I'm not happy.
They got some hefty contracts on that team. I'm looking at their roster on NHL Cap Geek. Spets is $7 million until the end of the 2015 season.
Oh, that's his cap hit?
Yeah, $7 million.
All right.
Alfredson's 4.875 until the 2013. They got some high contracts on that team. I thought we had some bad contracts. Oof. Gonchar. Wow. Anyway.
Well, they dump it out of New Jersey next. I heard they tried to ask Ilias if he wanted to leave, and he wouldn't waive his no movement clause.
Yeah, I take Volchenkov in a second from them.
Well, they just signed him, right?
That right, exactly, yeah. Well, the same thing, Ottawa just signed Gonchar. But really, Volchenkov isn't helping that wonderful defense out there in New Jersey. I've read some sites that are touting Henrik Tolander as the worst player in the NHL right now, and that's a terrible thing for the Devils.
Wow.
How about Bryce Salvador?
He got out of there last year.
Is Bruno Gervais still available? Amanda, I just want to ask you, on the 1 to 10 scale, where are you on the Roosevelt, I'm so glad he got out of here?
I'm not a 8, 9, or 10. I think I'm a 7. I'm glad for the contract to be out of here. I'm glad that we can bring up somebody in, but I didn't think he was as bad as everybody makes him out to be.
That's how I feel.
But I don't mind $5 million gone for $3.8 coming back, and they both have the same contract length. So from a financial perspective, that's basically a 10 right there. But from a player to player's perspective, 5 or 6, because I think again he's overrated. The games that I've been at this year, watching him on the ice, he's made some better defensive plays. I think we all expected that much more out of him. Again, that comes with a big contract along with somebody who, when we first got him, if you remember, he was our go-to guy. He was our power play guy. He was our number one penalty-killing defenseman. You know, he was our shutdown guy, so to speak, and how scary is that going back to, you know, when they came out of the lockout? him and his wonderful, you know, tall partner there was our number one defense pairing. Remember that? So, you know, the expectation came down. We signed him $5 million for, 5 years, and now we want 15 goals a year. We want 50 points. We want him banging and taking everybody out. And again, the salary didn't meet the player, which is what everybody wanted. So he was going to be the whipping boy.
Well, that's my next question. So who's going to be the whipping boy? I guess when Michael Delzato comes back, he'll be the whipping boy.
Oh, God, please leave him buried for the rest of the year.
I think Delzato's got a way to go before he's the whipping boy. He's too young.
You can't have a whipping boy that hasn't been in the league that long. The whipping boy comes from having expectations that aren't met, coupled with a big salary. Frolov was one. I don't think Wolski gets that for a while, maybe. But right now, I mean, to be honest, haven't you heard a lot of people grumbling about Mr. Gavrik? And all of a sudden starting to take some heat. You know, this is our sniper. He's not only is he hurt, but also he's got only 11 goals. All of a sudden, you know, he's not one of the young, core, homegrown guys. And, you see a lot of grumbling now about Gavrik. It's not, he doesn't have the honeymoon that he had from last year when he scored all the goals. Now he's an 11-goal scorer in 28 games, not playing as hard. People think he might be hurt. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him all of a sudden taking a lot more heat now, because it's got to be directed somewhere, and they're looking for somebody that's underperformed.
Well, plus, not only does he have 11 goals, but they're only in about six games, right? Seven. He's got a couple of multi-goal games.
I mean, yeah, exactly. So if we're looking for that next whipping boy, so to speak, a guy, if you define it by, is a guy that's got paid a lot of money, has a lot of expectation, and isn't producing anywhere near that, you're gonna have a guy like Gabrick, and of course, I'm not even gonna go into the Drury discussion, but those are the two.
Yeah, and I think Gabrick, since he doesn't fit in with the, really, if you think about it, the whole attitude and the whole team concept, which is, you know, gritty, heavy forecheck, and now he sticks out like a sore thumb. Although I think he's very defensively responsible as well.
Isn't that something? Yeah,
but
he learned that.
But he's being paid to score. He's being paid, you know, six and a half, whatever he's getting, to put pucks in the net. And I think he's played pretty well. He's run into a lot of hard luck. That game against Carolina, he had about 50 chances. Hopefully he'll come back. But see, my thing is, this is going to come off very elitist as a Ranger fan, and I'm not an elitist Ranger fan, but it seems like some of the Cro-Magnon Ranger fans that are sitting up there and in the crowd always have to pick on a defenseman. And I've stick up for defensemen, because defensemen, when a goal goes in, it's a breakdown, and usually the final breakdown is the defenseman standing there doing something like, why isn't he covering this guy? Why? I mean, I've seen it with Malik, and I'm not saying Marek Malik was a good defenseman. I saw it with Tom Pody, who's managed, they boot him out of New York, but he still managed to play with Washington for 5 years afterwards. I've seen it, you know, with a host of other guys. We could go down the whole litany of them. So I'm hoping that this has changed, because now maybe you're right, man. Though as far as younger guys, it may be, the expectations may not be there. Kevin Hatch is another guy that got, you know, much blind, and he deserved it, actually. Redden, of course, deserved it. But Rock's naming them, you know. Pody, Huber, Mark Hardy. Who did the guys that bad? But you know, we'll see. I hope that the Ranger fans, I agree with one of our mutual friends of me and Mandar, that booing a player doesn't make him play better. I understand you get the voice of displeasure, but if you ever read that article of Peter Nedved when he was being booed, you know, unmercifully, he said he was afraid to touch the puck. Now, I know he's a professional athlete, but the fans had him so freaking rattled he didn't want to touch the puck. So, listen, I'm getting off my soapbox. Boo everybody you want. What do I care? You made your money, go boo, spit, throw things. I don't care.
Heckling's more fun than booing anyway.
Yeah, what am I talking about? I don't want to heckle anyway when I go to the game. I'm trying to be all magnanimous here.
I only boo opposing teams' players, but heckling, I don't mind heckling.
Yeah, I like to heckle.
Mandar, I'm going to take other calls. Do you want to stay on with us, or what do you want to do?
Yeah, I'll stay on.
Okay. Let's bring in next up. Zach, how are you, Zach?
What's going on, guys?
Good. Thank you for holding for a while. I know you've been on hold for a while. I appreciate it. Everybody else that's on hold, we'll get to you guys in just a couple of minutes, I promise.
I guess this is a pretty popular show.
As it should be.
Oh, yeah, baby. Oh, yeah.
Don't you think it's deserved?
It's a Festivus miracle.
Post-Festivus.
Yes.
Let me tell you something. I woke up from a nap, and then I saw somebody post on Facebook, Rosie is gone. And I checked the NHL webpage, and they said that he was traded. And I thought I was still sleeping. I had to pinch myself a few times. It was like,
so
wow.
Did Rosie. So did Roosevelt. You're trading me where? To who?
Phoenix?
Listen, when I was listening to the last show, because I couldn't tune in, I was listening to it during the game against St. Louis. And when you guys kept talking about Joe Micheletti, the Grim Reaper, Frolov gets injured, I was like, wow, perfect timing. And it was true. He's like, oh, geez, Frolov.
He's bent over, Sam. Doesn't look good.
Oh. Three minutes.
Comes back on the ice. It's like, look, he's on the ice again. Oh, he's going back to the bench. Oh, geez.
And 3 minutes.
Goes to the locker room. Oh, no.
Just like I said the other night on the show, 3 minutes into the Dallas game. It's a good pace to this game, isn't it, Sam?
Oh, no.
It's a good pace. I know everything about St. Louis and Dallas in those first periods. They just hammer the opposing teams, what they're all about. I don't care. I don't care about the other team. I watch hockey when it's not the Rangers. I know about the other team. You're not filling us in. I want to know what happened. I want to know what Derek Stepan's mom did that day. I want to know, Eric Christian, how his rehab's going. Hopefully it'll be longer so we don't have to see him. Matt Zuccarello saying something funny every day. I want to hear that. Today he was talking about him and McDonough. They roomed together in Hartford. And Zuccarello's girlfriend would make tacos. And they would eat tacos. And I'm like, but they're both from Norway, his girlfriend. But she's making tacos with the McDonough's loving it. I want to hear stuff like that. I don't care about David Perron being out and that he's a great player and St. Louis has got all these injuries. Guess what? We got injuries up the wazoo here. I don't have to hear the boo-hooing of the St. Louis Blues. I don't care. I want to hear Rangers, 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 Rangers. It's a Ranger game. I don't want to hear about how great Alex Pietrangelo is developing as a defenseman. Tell me about Matthew Roy. Who is he sleeping with?
What makes it worse is during a Penguins game, Sam and Joe are always praising how well Crosby is doing. Even if the Penguins are shut out, Crosby is so amazing, trying to get shots in, but the Rangers are blocking it. But Crosby is all over the place. Seriously, Ranger fans, for the most part, hate Crosby with a passion.
They don't get it.
Educate me about the other team. It's ridiculous. All right, go ahead, Jim. I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to reiterate Zach's point. Last week when Crosby had the point scoring streak against the Islanders, throughout that game, they just kept showing pictures of him sitting on the bench. While the Rangers, I don't even remember who the Rangers were playing that night. I'm like, I don't give a shit. This guy is hated more than any other player in the league by Ranger fans. They don't care. We don't care. Enough with
that was
the Crosby. Enough.
Probably one of the few nights that the Rangers were actually cheering for the Islanders.
I get enough of that from the NHL. Every time I go to NHL.com or the NHL Network, it's all I see is his platypus duck lips. It's all I see. Enough. It's enough. I don't need to see it on MSG. When they're playing him, fine. You got to talk about him. He's on
Who's
the ice. Crosby.
He does?
Yeah.
He's like one of those Beverly Hills housewives there.
Plunger puss.
I have to hear enough of it at the NHL store. I mean, I have to hear everything. I enjoy it to an extent, but it's just like, people always come up to me nowadays. It's like, where's the Winter Classic stuff? Where's the Winter Classic stuff? Here. And then, unfortunately, I have some fans saying, do you have any jerseys other than Crosby?
See,
well, unfortunately, I have to say, no, this is all we've got. And they're all disappointed.
Sue Papagallo, if I got her name right, in the chat room, who's joining us, I believe, for the first time tonight, just said, him and his pube lips. Exactly. Exactly.
We've all been saying that.
Preach it, sister. Pube lips.
Critical saying, between his DSL and that rapist stash.
I grow better hair on my ass than he grows on his face. Not that anybody needed to know that.
Yeah.
But now you do.
Speaking of the NHL store, I always have so many laughs whenever I'm talking about other teams. Like, this one day I'm having a discussion with a couple of Devil fans and a couple of Islander fans. And I'm the only Ranger fan. I said, Islanders have something to look forward to because they are now in sole possession of 29th place. Well, I thought you would think that's funny. Come on, laugh.
It is funny.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
So and I don't know what to say to that, really.
Just think it's funny. I just wanted to say it. But, very funny.
Is that better?
Thank you. But when I went to the store and I heard that Jamie Langerbrunner was traded to Dallas, there was talk all around the store that because of that, Brad Richards won't be traded. Because I know you guys mentioned that earlier in the show. I wanted to say Brad Richards will probably not be traded at the trading deadline.
Yeah, I've heard that too, and that's fine. I don't want him at the trading deadline. I want him in July. I want him in July when he doesn't cost us any players.
You know.
Right. So. And that's true. No, that's true. And, you know, just to go off on a little tangent, what's been going on with the Kings, they're signing all these guys to 7-year contracts. What is it up with this now in the NHL? They signed Jack Johnson. I think they've locked Anze Kopitar up for, like, 6 or 7 years. What is going on? I'm very tentative to lock anybody up at this point. I mean, you know, other if it's Sidney Crosby or Love Chicken or, you know, somebody like that, maybe. But you're taking a risk. So, you know, I hope the Rangers never, ever, ever, ever go that route again.
Jack Johnson, he's the guy can't put. I like to hand him a paper bag and say, "Here, defend your way out of this." I mean, you know, he's like,
I don't know. A lot of people are high on him, Jim. I don't know. You know, I don't really watch that much many King games, so I can't go into the whole thing. But a lot of people said he's come a long way since he's been drafted. I don't know, but a 7-year deal is just nonsensical. You don't know what could happen in those 7 years. Now, maybe they fear, you know, what you lock them up at a nice bargain price, what, you know, but you don't know what you're getting, you know.
Yeah, but there's also rumors that it, with the CBA up for renewal in like 2 years, they're going to do a rollback on all salaries. So signing a guy for a high contract now might not be what it's worth after the new CBA comes into effect.
Wow. You are the voice of reason. You have replaced D.B. Maven. Because I knew you would one day.
All right, Zach. Listen, we got to get a lot of calls in before the end of the show, but we thank you for calling. And,
tomorrow, Thursday, I'm at the store. Come and visit me and buy stuff.
There you go. 50% off if you mention Zach's name.
Yeah, but I have to pay first.
Talk to you later, Zach.
Have a good one, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya.
All right, next, he's been holding the longest. Robbie, what's going on?
How's it going, guys?
Good, how are you?
Very happy about this trade. Very happy. This is great. Luckily, there's always got to be a general manager who out-buffoons Sather. It's beyond me. I actually, you know, to be honest, I got that from you, Eddie, out-buffoon.
Nice.
I love that word. That word will crack me up every time.
And, you know, guess who gets to see the Wolski debut? Tomorrow night.
Oh, Robbie will be there.
Yes, I will. So, War 2. I got to meet up with Ava and Claude at Section 230 in the first intermission, so I've already made plans for that. So,
oh, nice.
But let me tell you something. This is great. I can't. But let's go to the list. You got Gomez gone, which to this day, I can't. I have no idea how Gainey took that to get to so that's one. Now Redden goes down. They still have to pay him the money, but still, that's another contract. At least we don't have to see him. And now Roosevelt, you guys, this is just, how does he do this? I mean, he's taken all this criticism, and you know, he really hasn't done much that we, you know, he hasn't done anything that we can bash him for. So I give him credit. You have to give the guy credit when he does something good. Well. Yeah.
He's always got that Bougard hanging out of his nose, Robbie.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But this is great. Hopefully he'll get some scoring. But let me tell you something. What's up with Gabrick? He's got 11 goals this year. I don't know what. This is the worst I've seen him as with the Rangers.
Well, I thought he played a terrific game against Carolina. Cam Ward was outstanding in that game. I mean, Gabrick was all over the ice in that game. I thought, you know, Friday night and Saturday, I thought they played things a little a little closer to the vest. But I don't know. I'm not ready to get on him yet.
It's not like they've given a primo line mate. See, I mean, you know, Derek Stepan is learning on the job.
Right.
You know, as a center iceman, he's horrible on faceoffs. A lot of times when you can't control that faceoff deep in the zone, you know, it lessens the chances of a guy like Gavrik to get a really good scoring chance. Artem Anisimov is, still learning. He still doesn't really have vision, the vision you really need to be a really good center iceman as far as the passing goes. They don't have a really good settlement. They also don't have anybody on defense that can, you know, adequately move the puck for scoring chances to the forwards, too. They're lacking a lot of components where, especially on the power play, stinking as bad as it's been stinking. When you have a good power play, you know, Marian Gaborik, if you have two or three skilled players in there and know what to do and have it down, and that's where, you know, as much as a lot of people, you know, some people don't want Brad Richards, Brad Richards will make that power play so much better, playing on the point or what, you know, and just, you know, just great vision. So Gaborik's suffering a little. I know he didn't have much of that last year as well, but I think that I think he'll get out of the funk, and it's also an adjustment for him because the team is, the adjustment is the fact that Prospero or Vinny Prospero never came back, and Vinny and him had something going.
And Richards is a great passer, isn't he, Sam?
Yeah. I've heard Sam and Joe educated me that Brad Richards is a good passer. They also said Gretzky was a good passer, which I was not aware of.
You're right, though, Jim. We really can't bash Gabbert yet. I mean, 42 goals last year, he carried the team, he tied his career high. So I have a feeling he'll get it going soon. Let's hope so. So we'll need him down the stretch.
Everything is going good, and, listen, everything's been going good. It'll be a bonus when he starts putting them in, because the Rangers are going to be, right now, because early on everybody was saying, oh, Lundqvist has been kind of shaky, and now he's got it. He's locked in right now. And if we get Gavrik locked in, plus what we've been getting, the Rangers got, four or five guys with 10 goals or more, five guys, I think. Everybody's chipping in. I think right now, as far as the fans go, we really got to enjoy this moment because they're playing some great hockey, and you can be proud of them. Win or lose, they seem to be giving that effort every night. And that, to me, is the most important thing. I know in a culture where it's you got to win, 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 and I'd love to see them win, don't get me wrong, but that you can be proud of the team that you root for and the players and identify with their passion, I think speaks a lot, and I'm just glad for that. Whatever we get in playoffs and wins and the whole thing, that's just an added bonus for me. When did I start sounding like a hippie? Didn't I used to be militant at one time? Now it's like, oh, the karma is good. So
you want to hear a good stat on the Rangers as far as goal scoring goes?
Give it.
What is it?
Last year, they had seven guys on the roster with double-digit goals, right? This year, they've already got six.
Wow.
Fedotenko's got eight. Got to cross Frolov off the list, I guess. Fedotenko's got eight. Stahl's got six. Christensen's got six. Prust has five. So you got some other guys that are probably going to get there. So, like we said, last year they had no secondary scoring, and this year they've got no first-endary scoring.
Let me ask you guys something. Is Prosper coming back this year? Because I have a bet on that he's done.
Yeah, I think he's done.
Well, he skated, or he was going to skate. Over the weekend he was going to skate. He was going to skate with Callahan, but then they didn't skate because nobody else did. But I think they might have skated today. I'm trying to scan through Andrew Gross. I think they did skate today. And don't forget, we got Chris Newberry now.
Dr.
Newberry.
We're going to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Chris Nobody.
You know, he's another guy. Ranger fans get a little too excited about him. You know, let's try and temper our enthusiasm for this guy. You know, he's only going to play on the fourth line. Oh, he's got he's got 18 points with the Hartford Wolfpack. Woo!
Yeah.
4 goals and 14 assists. You know, it's not. This isn't like. It's not Mark Messier coming in.
Yeah, and well, you know, it's like, you know, they can't all be gems. listen, wait, they need grit. I wonder why he was brought up now to take out Volsky to replace Frolov. What do you think? They're going to send down Dale Weiss? They're kind of similar players, although I think Dale's got a little bit more, he's definitely got more upside and more hands. Newberry's been around for a while. So I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Chris Newberry bringing his 4 NHL career goals to the Garden.
Who did we get for him? Remember we made it? We said, oh, the Rangers have gotten the immortal Chris Newberry.
Jordan Owens.
All right, at the trading deadline last year, right?
I think so. Yeah, trading deadline.
This team has the depth, I think, to go very far in the playoffs, my friends.
Whoa! We don't have that kind of talk here.
We'll see. We'll see. I think they're a team I think they're built to be a team that can be tough to beat in the playoffs. But you know, you got to see a lot of things before I'll make any predictions of how far they're going. I need to see their starting goaltender play lights out, get on one of his streaks, and things like that.
Yeah, this is, you know, me and my I put my grand poobah hat on, and I predicted, and I swammied it all out last year, and I still think it's about 3 years away before we become an Eastern Conference force. This year, I'll take first round. In a second round exit, I'll consider that progress. Just making the playoffs. I just like the way the team is going. And listen, I'm not going to get too off. Go ahead.
I'm actually being dead serious, but all due respect to getting. I think that they have, this team should be able to. They could upset some opponents when they're the underdogs. They could go far. I'm not saying they'll go all the way, but you got to think at least. Like you said, they could be a tough team to beat come playoff time, especially at home. So,
you got some good points there. They do very well on back-to-back games in short amount of time.
That's just important.
Every other night, but
And don't forget, Robbie. There, chances are they don't finish in the top four, so they're going to be playing more games on the road. But they're okay on the road. They don't mind being on the road.
Sure.
You know.
And
sometimes I think they prefer it.
The stat they also have is that they lead the league in most points when they trail after two. So they're never out of a game.
Didn't they also say the other night that they haven't been beaten yet when they had the lead going into the third period?
It's true also.
What did they say? They're 16-0, 18-0 or something like that? I mean, that's pretty impressive.
It's impressive. There's no doubt about it. But guess what? You know,
got a long way to go.
There's 40 more games to go. I mean, I can't say like watch out for injuries because they've been decimated by injuries.
They're here.
You know,
That's all right. I'm so upset though about Prosper because I think that him and Gabrick is a good combination. It takes a little bit of pressure off of him, but. He's old. I can't see him coming back. If he does, great, but I have a bad feeling about him because then without him, Gabrick really isn't the same, at least in my opinion. So.
Yeah, and look, and the other thing is when Vinny does, if and when he does come back, what are you going to get from him? You know?
Yeah. But
Robbie, we're going to let you go. I got six more calls on the switchboard. We got 30 minutes to get to him. All right, buddy?
All right, sure. I'm very happy about the straight, and I'll speak to you guys soon, all right?
All right, talk to everybody.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, that was the great Robbie. Let's go to 631-974. I think this is Costa.
Yeah, that's right.
What's going on, buddy? How are you?
I want to give a shout-out to Michael Roosevelt. Die, you stinking piece of garbage! Die! You suck with a gold teeth! Die! You asshole! I'm coming to get you! You stink on ice!
I didn't understand half of that, but it was funny.
I heard Roosevelt die, you stink on ice.
Yeah, I heard the stink on ice part, but... I don't know.
Well, they call him Costa the Crazy Greek. He's that advertised, and I love it.
So, Costa, how do you feel about the trade?
Happy, happy, joy, joy.
Happy, happy, joy, joy.
One more bad contract to go. One more. Just one more.
That's right.
Captain Cash.
Captain Cash.
There's one more left in the lifeboat, like I said.
Yeah, Captain Cash.
Let me ask you, what do you think is the where do you think they go from here? Do they go right after a veteran defenseman? Do they play
no.
stick with the youth?
I've got to go to war with this D.
He wants to go to war with this D.
And see how it works out, right?
Exactly. Let the chips fall with MA.
And if you need a veteran guy at the trade deadline, go get him.
Well, if you get one, yeah.
Yeah, if the price is not steep, yeah, fine.
All right. Is that it, Costa?
Yeah, that's it. I'll get out of here. You got more calls. I know. Bye-bye.
All right. All right, talk to you later. I thought he was going to say something else, and then he, you know, we had that awkward pause. All right,
yeah.
Let's go to the 609-204. I don't recognize this number. You're on Blue Shirt Band of Radio. Who's this?
It's Captain 9NYR from the chat room.
Hey, what's up, Captain?
How you doing?
I want to wish you guys a happy Roosevelt's Gone Day to you and your family. Celebrate accordingly.
Thank you. Thank
you. Roosevelt.
There you go.
Celebrated every January 10th.
The Roosevelt. Happy Roosevelt. There you go. Mandar's got it. Every January 10th. It'll be Roosevelt's Eve, and we'll make Roosevelt smoothies with Crosby.
You can put me in the camp of, go to war with this defense. I mean, the one problem we always have is we're always trying to bring some veteran. Just because you're a veteran doesn't mean you're any good. I mean, Wade Redden's a veteran, too. We just traded a veteran to Phoenix for hopefully somebody who can play a little bit better. But, and even the idea of taking the money and signing Richards. I mean, we're just trying to get out of these, six, seven-year deals to these 30, 31-year-old players. It's just, we're constantly in this cycle. I think we should just see this thing through. Let's say you sign Richards, right? What do you do with Stepan Anisimov? I mean, Boyle's your three, obviously. So you assume that Stepan Anisimov are your one and your two, or else you're going to take somebody and really just waste them in a spot they're really not meant for. I mean, I think in this system that we're actually playing well at, thank God.
We actually have a system.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing. I don't know what this would usually look like. I think I have to watch a different team to see a system. But I don't think that we need to go out there and be spending. Richards isn't going to take any kind of discount to come here. You're looking at least 5-6 years, and you're looking at least $6-7 million for each one of those 5-6 years. We're just getting out of that lifeboat. You want to put somebody else in the lifeboat?
He makes a good point.
He does. He does. I mean,
we're not even talking about the possible arrival, maybe next year, of Chris Kreider.
There you go.
Right. Yeah. I mean, he's fast track to be on the Ranger team next year. At least that's what they say. That's something I really didn't think of. As Ranger fans, we always want that shiny new toy, and we never really have had the cap space to. Well, when we had it, we totally squandered it with the garbage that we're just getting rid of. Maybe just stay with the young guys and learn from the past and just stay away. But it's so enticing because, you want to play, you want the Rangers to be involved. And you know that if you're going to be a real serious contender in this league, you need two or three really top-notch players. And right at this juncture, the Rangers only have two, and one is underproducing a little bit in Gabrick and Lundqvist. Now, there's other guys that are emerging, but I think maybe we should just maybe stay the course, like you said, and wait till these guys emerge.
DB Maven corrected me. Kreider is a left wing. I apologize. Ethan Werrick is the center, and who knows when he may be along next year as well. So I did. There could be another center on the way. But anyway,
also I just wanted to say one thing. What I like the fact that the Rangers will have some players in Hartford that will be able to come in and play, because a lot of them have gotten a chance this year because of injuries, to come in and replace maybe when, you know, things get injured or a guy is not playing so well, and to have a lot of good guys in the organization. Why do we have to get rid of them to get an older guy, and sign another long-term contract, like you mentioned? I think it's a good point.
I just think that we need the money, too, to keep the guys that, you know, we were all worried about, you know, how we're going to sign these players. We have no cap space. We finally do. We can afford to keep them. I mean, you know, Torts is always talking about the core. Well, you can't have a core if you keep bringing in outsiders that really may or may not fit what you're trying to do. Now, you know, bringing in Wolfgang Volpe, I have no – this is a fantastic trade on I can't even tell you how many levels, because if we got a conditional seventh-round pick and season tickets to the Coyotes for Michael Roosevelt, that's an upgrade. Okay? We could go sit there and scout all the guys that Maloney will give us for our trash in years going forward. But can anybody say with anything behind it that Roosevelt wasn't the fifth best defenseman on this team? I mean, yeah, do we have a young top four? Absolutely. Is that a problem? Absolutely not. Just because you've been playing for 6-7 years doesn't mean you're any good. I like the defense that they have. I really do. And it's growing up together. It's all part of this actual youth movement, which we clamored for all those years we weren't making the playoffs from 98, you know, to 04. We finally have it, and now we're like, oh, let's go get this guy. Let's go bring back Kovalev. Let's go trade for Gontrain. No. That's not going to work. Let's not go down the road again. Stick with youth. I really think it's definitely the better idea. And everybody's like, oh, well, they're going to buy out Drury. Now, the thing about buying out Drury is, or even, no, you're not going to trade him. He's like, I think a trade. But what are you going to do with the cap space? Go waste it on somebody else? You don't really need it right now. So let his contract expire, and then it's wide open to do what you wish with. Not to take a buyout and the whole, you know, this much percentage over this many years, and you still want to, you know, get involved. I think.
Well, if they buy him out, it's only 2 years. It's next year, and I think we talked about this last week, and I think the numbers are 3.75 next year, and then I forget, it's even less than that the year after or something, maybe 1.75 or something like that. We talked about the numbers last week, so it's not a drastic cap hit. I just think at this point, Drury's become a square peg with a bunch of round holes.
I don't necessarily disagree with you, but I think that, you know, from a leadership standpoint, it's not bad to have a veteran presence in the room to keep. I mean, until the Callahan takes over the center once he's out. But I don't think it makes a whole lot of you're better off just eating it that way. Unless you're going to use the cap space for something, I don't think it really makes sense to buy him out. And then even if you're spreading less over 2 years, just eat it and go, you know? I don't think that it makes that – unless you're going to do something with it. Like, when they traded Gomez, that was great, and then they got Gabrick, that was great. So it's like then you're actually doing something, but there's no point in buying it up unless you're going to do something with the cap space. But I don't want to take up too much of your time. I know you got guys waiting. Thank you for taking my call.
No problem.
Great day. Let's pop out, kids. It's a great day.
Hey, thanks for calling in, and make sure you call again, all right?
Will do.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
Take it easy. All right, we got about 20 minutes to go. I got DB Maven on hold, and if anybody else wants to call in, 646-478-4692 is the number. And let's just a couple of people have asked me, Eddie, so why don't we talk about this really quick. We got tomorrow night the Rangers play the Canadiens, then they are off Wednesday, and then they play Thursday night against the Canucks. So do you want to do another show this week?
Yeah.
I'll leave it up. Do you want to do you want to come back Friday night or do you want to come back Wednesday night?
Wednesday night.
You want to do Wednesday night. All right. Friday night's Pilates.
Yeah, Friday night I got Pilates, you all know.
Okay. Now, if we come back,
it was
all right.
Italian restaurant near my house, Pilates.
All right. So if we do Wednesday night, then we'll come back. We could go back to next Monday, I guess, and then they'll have three games before our next show after Wednesday.
Come on. Oh, yeah, everybody's great. I mean, this show is awesome. It's the best show in the world. You're never going to hear this on MSG, this candid talk, this uncensored callers that call in. You guys are informed. You guys know what you're talking about. Exchange of ideas. None of that pablum puking crap that they give you on MSG, all vanilla and homogenized. You think they're having a goodbye Roosevelt party over there? No way. Only here, where the Radio Ranger fans come to. Who's your fan of radio?
All right, so we will be back on Wednesday night, January 12th at 8 p.m., and then next Monday night again at 8 p.m. So they got Saturday and Sunday night games. When do the Jets play? Are they Saturday? What? I'm just asking.
Who cares? It's hockey.
I'm just asking. I'm asking a question. You don't know? Okay.
I'm just
wondering if one of those games is up against the Jets. That's all. That's my only question. All right. So, without further ado, we will bring in TB Maven. The voice of reason.
Well, that was a build up.
Here, you want to hold on. We'll give you this.
No. I was going to give you some the silent chopper. What is this, Airwolf?
Ladies and gentlemen, the birds are
better? That'll teach me to open my mouth.
That's right.
I was going to play music for you. I had a clip on. I was going to play the Pointer Sisters. I'm so excited. Just to go along with the whole, you know, na-na-na-na, goodbye, and all that good stuff. Actually, the truth is, you know, I think that Rosie was probably the third best defenseman on the team this year. So far, he's had his ups and downs. I don't think he was fifth. But I'm not sorry to see him go. I think that this is a great move for the organization. First of all, I think it sends a message to all the defensemen, both that are on the club and that are in Hartford, that are potentials to come on the club, Valentenko, Kundratek, that they have faith in them, number one. Secondly, they need left wings, and Wolski's a left wing. They need somebody who can maybe get something lit up with Gavrik, presuming that he's actually healthy, and this could do it. The big question, of course, comes down to, how's he going to mesh with Torts? Is he going to be, you know, Zverev 3, the sequel to the sequel to Enver Leesen? You know, what's going to happen there? But I think it's a good move.
I couldn't agree with you more. How he fits in with Torts, I would have to think that there had to be some kind of conversation between the Emperor and Tortorella before this trade went down, right? Is this another one of those Brandon Prust deals where Tortorella's going to say tomorrow,
no,
I don't play, I don't know anything about him.
Yeah, right.
Who is
apparently all they before the deal went down, they got all the scouts together and watched tape on Volsky, on Wolski, Full Dick Wolski, and they were all like, they were really impressed. Now, whether Tortorella was in on that deal, I don't know. You know, it's going to probably turn into, well, he's not in shape, not in my kind of shape yet. We'll see how he plays. We've got to go through this whole rigmarole, you know, with the whole tort thing. But the
kind
of gentleman. What?
You think he'll put him through the conditioning skate right now?
I don't think so. After a couple of shifts.
A bag skate right off the plate.
You think he told him not to walk on the emblem?
I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out, but Vegas really can't be choosers at this point, I mean, with the Rangers. They need some scoring. I mean, as much as we've been living with Frolov being a total, you know, it turned out to be a total dud, it would be nice to see somebody with a winger could, you know, or center, wherever they play him, which I think they'll probably play him at wing, but I'm not sure. Who knows, though, you know, with Tortorella, you know, where these guys wind up and what line they wind up on. But I think it's a good addition. And, again, I sometimes feel bad, not feel bad, but I have reservations about feeling, like, happy that we got rid of bad garbage that we attained in the first place. It's kind of like, why did we get him in the first place? You know, Glenn Sather gets a lot of praise for getting rid of his mistakes. Why the mistakes in the first place? That's my problem.
That's the real question. Yeah, that's
right.
Very true.
But
yeah, so
again, if there's another sucker out there,
another sucker, I'd go for it.
Yeah, that's, you know, the P.T. Barnum thing. You know, the sucker born every day or every week or whatever. So, Don Maloney, thank you. I salute you.
Well, you know, and I said this in one of the, I guess, in the commentary to Jim's original post on the board, is from Phoenix perspective, I still don't quite get it. Not that I'm really terribly worried about it, but it left me scratching my head because, okay, maybe there's stuff that we don't know. Maybe they're under salary pressure. They're trying to, you know, shed some salary and stay above the cap floor and all that stuff, which certainly this trade does for them. But given where they went in the playoffs last year, you wouldn't think that someone would be looking at Michael Roosevelt to be a shutdown defenseman or a crease clearer.
I think Don Maloney right now is telling the Arizona press that he's the best first passer in the game. He's a guy we targeted immediately, and we think he's going to help move the puck up to the forwards. He's our number one guy on defense.
He's got a booming shot on the power play. if you see it twice a year.
That sounds eerily familiar.
I don't get it, to be honest. I really, given where they were last year, I don't get it.
They have a lot of offensive defensemen and they need a guy who can play 20 minutes a game that's not, you know, it's just steady. I mean,
not
you
a
know,
complete liability. Yeah, maybe.
Exactly. I mean, he's not... And I'm with you as far as Roosevelt. I mean, I thought he was like number three on the Rangers. And he logged a lot of ice time. He wasn't embarrassing. And, you know, there's something to be said for a guy who can log 20 minutes and just do his job. You know, and, you know, I thought but the contract is so absurd that, you know, that's why. And listen, he's just not fitting in. He's kind of, you know, he's a bad memory. He's like, you know, you got to get rid of him. So,
well, you know what? The bottom line is the opportunity presents itself, and you know, to get something potentially with up. And I said, here's a guy, you're getting somebody 10 years younger, and you're saving $1.2 million on the cap. And how this isn't like an ultimate win, I don't understand. But, you know. The other thing is I really believe that you've got Kundratek, Valentenko, and now Delzato sitting down there, and not sitting, but playing with the Whale Pack, and you've got six guys up on the Rangers, and so they've got nine guys who potentially can play at any given point in time. I really think they felt that this was their best opportunity with the defense that they've got available to get rid of them. And get something in return.
Did you hear what Sather said, though, today? He goes, after the deal, when he said, It just all of a sudden happened so quickly today. It leads me to believe Don Maloney wanted Roosevelt. I don't think that Sanders contacting, you know, Maloney saying, hey, what if I give you Roosevelt for Wolski? You know, it's one of those, yeah, I'll give you this. What do you say? And he actually said yes.
I think so. I think Mandar is onto it because they were like, well, then we had our scouts look at tape of, you know, Wolski. Like, they want to give us somebody for, for Rosie?
Exactly.
And let's get the boys together. See if this guy's worth anything. And, you know,
he just got out of the
chip. Roosevelt? I mean, you didn't say Stepan, right? You said Roosevelt's who you wanted, right?
To coin a Sather term, he just got a Honda for a Cadillac price.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, Emily just talking about Joe Vanosky in the chat room. Can you imagine that conversation? Dave Tippett comes in the locker room. Ed, listen, we got you another defenseman. Somebody's going to help you out. Oh, that's great. Who'd you get? Michael Roosevelt. What? What?
And we only paid $5 million a year for him.
Okay, all right, Dave. Well, I guess that's not bad. You got all right, Roosevelt. I can live with it because he'll get the pass out to Volchek. You know, he's a good passer. He'll get the puck. He'll get the puck out to the Polish prince. Yeah, about that.
Yeah.
You see, that's the thing.
We traded him
for Roosevelt. What?
Jim, you really are going to have to find out who's like passing around the peyote out there in Phoenix.
Well, I'll get some for our next show.
And can you see the other GMs in the league? Lamoureux's going, I can't sign anybody. I got to release guys, and this guy's getting a Rolfe.
They got Roosevelt for Rolfe.
I can't get rid of Brian Rolfe.
Yeah,
oh, man.
It would really be great. Wouldn't it be terrific to have, like, Lou Lamoriello's office bug and hear his reaction to that?
Right. Something like this. What?
Oh, my God. Oh, you guys are killing me. That was great.
All right, what do we got? We got 8 minutes left, and now, of course, we just got like three more phone calls on the switchboard. All right, let's see who else we got here. Let's see, 347-828. You're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
It's Dams.
It's who?
It's Dams. Dams 10.
Oh, hey, how you doing?
I'm all right. How are you guys?
Good. Welcome to the program.
Good. We're
happy. Been a long time since I've been on the blog, but I missed talking to you guys. How are you? Happy New
good.
Year.
Doing good. We're doing
Happy
good.
New Year.
Happy
our long
New Year.
National, our long national nightmare is over.
Oh, amen. saints be praised. Michael Roosevelt is no more. could you imagine it took 2 years plus all kinds of things that we endured, missing the playoffs and all, to finally get rid of the guy? Oh, amazing.
You know, it seems the majority of Ranger fans are extremely pleased, and I can, you know, listen, it's been a long run, and it's funny because we sat here all off-season, you know, contemplating ways, you know, that the Rangers get rid of some of these guys, and it's finally come to fruition, and like some, I think it was a caller or somebody said in the chat room, it's like a weight has been lifted. It's just like, you know, it was just embarrassing.
It was. It honestly was because, I mean, at Spurs he would play. He would have a great game. I mean, he would hit, he would check, he would shoot, but then he'd have these lulls, and they were noticeable where people were just beating him, you know, literally passes were just flying by him. He wouldn't pay attention. I mean, he seemed like a rookie, and yet this guy is like he's a 10-year veteran, and he played like a rookie often.
Very inconsistent. I mean, and you remember what was it a week ago where Tortorella said that Rosie had pretty much, you know, expended all his credit that he had for for playing good in the past, and I really didn't think his play in Tortorella's eyes had deteriorated that much, But apparently it had, because they feel comfortable in getting rid of him and, you know, and feel like they're not going to miss a step on the blue line. And, you know, a lot of play, you know, and I think it's a good thing. And, again, the contract is the big thing. That's the...
That is immense. I got a question for you, though. So does this, well, two-parter. One, does this reopen the door for Michael Delzato to come back? And two, is this the end of the dealing?
Well, I'll let the other guys answer that. I think Delzato is, just let me just, I'll just answer the Delzato part. I think Delzato is down there, and he's down there to stay till he gets his head straight and starts making the simple plays instead of trying to be the home run boy. That's all. That's my take on that. But guys.
I'll just say this real quick. I don't think you can fix what was wrong with Delzato in four games in Connecticut. You remember last year, Eddie, when they sent Gilroy down to Hartford and then they brought him back like three games later, and we were joking about it. Oh yeah, he's fine now. He's all fixed. I don't think you can fix Delzato in four games. So I hope I think he's got a good career ahead of him. Don't rush him back. Take your time with Delzato. He'll be fine.
Agreed.
I know Mandar disagrees, but.
No,
which is okay. That's okay.
Not a fan.
I know
thanks,
you're not.
Guys.
Not a
have
fan.
Have a good night.
All right. Hey, thanks. Take it easy. Call us again. All right.
You got it. Take care.
All right. Take care, man.
All right. I got one more call I want to bring on before the end of the show. We got 4 minutes to go. In case we kind of just spill over to the podcast, I'll say goodnight to you guys now, and thank you all for listening. And I'll just tell you guys, I hope that a lot of you who listened maybe for the first time tonight, I hope you'll come back and see us again. I was checking the numbers while we're doing the show. We've had literally record-setting numbers tonight for the amount of people listening live to this show right now. So we hope you'll come back and see us. We hope you like it. And bring 10 of your closest Ranger fan friends with you. So let's bring on 347-538. You're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
Hello, I'm Anthony.
Hey,
hi,
Anthony.
How are you?
How you doing, buddy?
All right. I was wondering, what do we do with the boogeyman when he comes back?
I don't think you, me personally. I don't think you have to worry about it anytime soon.
Really? Is he out for that long?
I think it's a combination of the injury. Did you hear I don't know if you're a regular. Are you a regular listener to the show?
I'm not a regular listener. I just started going on like Blue Shirt Banter and stuff, but I've been a Ranger fan for a long time.
Oh, okay. Well, I played this clip last week. This is from a post practice interview that John Tortorella did, and somebody asked him about Bogaerts, and here's what he had to say. This is just like a 10-second clip.
And we should be fine.
Is there any word on Bogaerts? The neurologist?
I haven't even talked to him about Bogaerts. Right now, he's not even in my sights, to be honest with you, as far as how close he's playing. He hasn't been on the ice, hasn't worked out, so it's that's still a ways away.
Tortorella, to me, seems like he's not happy with Bogaerts, even when he's healthy. The word is, and I think some of the beat reporters have reported that he's not really happy with his conditioning, and with this, the concussion or the sore neurologist, it could be maybe the rest of the year. Who knows? And especially not, I think getting him was more of a Sather move, and I don't think he particularly wanted him. And this is just, like I said, when he said he's not even on my radar right now, that doesn't really bode well for him. That's the way I think.
And, I mean, that clip, we actually pulled that about a week and a half ago, and I don't think I've heard Bogaerts' name mentioned since. You know, you always get, you know, you read the beat writers, you read Jesse Spector from the Daily News or Andrew Gross or Steve Zippe, and you'll see, you know, Prosper skated or Callahan's feeling better or this one. You're hearing nothing about Derek Bogaerts. I think Derek Bogaerts right now is out of sight, out of mind with this team. That's just my opinion. Just the way I'm perceiving all of this. Right now, he's out of sight, out of mind, and John Tortorella is very okay with that.
Yeah, it's probably better like that anyway.
I mean, what does he bring? I mean,
I know.
He's been out of the lineup for a month and a half. Do you miss him? Is it? Has it been that long? About a month, right?
Yeah, it's been a bit.
I don't miss him.
Well, the only thing I could say in his defense, I mean, we saw a fight between, Weiss and Bodie, or was it Prust and Bodie? I forgot which one it was.
It was Prust.
It was Prust. Now, see, Prust has to fight him, right? And then Prust winds up injuring his shoulder a little bit in that scrap. Whereas if you had the Bogart, it would have been, you know, those two guys would have settled it. But to me, the Rangers haven't missed a beat without him. Once you get into the playoffs, and hopefully they make the playoffs, you're not going to need those guys to become obsolete. So it's the boogeyman, and unfortunately, you know, what is he signed for, 4 years, 5 years?
Yeah, that's the problem. Paying him a ton of money too.
Yeah, for let's face it, a goon or an enforcer.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So. It seems to be that he may be one of the guys on the boat soon, pretty well. The lifeboat that Jim said.
All right, well, thanks for having me on.
All right, Anthony, thanks for calling in. Call us again, all right?
Sweet, thanks.
All right, take it easy. All right, we are off the air. We have gone into the podcast, and it's just us four.
Well, it was fun, it was interesting, and it was well received, which I enjoy.
I'm very surprised at the numbers this evening. Pleasantly,
over
it was packed.
Over 5 million people were listening.
most of them at Penn Plaza.
We are Drew Leno.
Oh, well.
Chris Drury, Roosevelt gets traded. These are like bigger than playoff numbers.
Well, we don't know what our playoff numbers will be. Let's hope we get a chance to find out.
Yeah.
Does anybody think? I mean, it's been interesting the last couple of weeks listening to Tortorella and some of the things he's been saying. He keeps repeating the mantra of we're playing the youth, we're going with the youth. They sent White down, which is clearly indicative of that. Obviously, they must have felt in Connecticut that Zuccarello was ready, at least to give it a shot, and it doesn't look like they were wrong. Wolski's 24 years old. He's young. He's a 50-plus point player already, and certainly there's potential there, and maybe it's getting his head right, but that's going to be a work in progress. We'll see what happens. They unload or throw off the boat Michael Roosevelt, and, you know, it looks like they're just going with the youth, and I'm wondering if they care that much about really going far in the playoffs this year. Just looking for your reaction, because I'm getting the sense now. Certainly, they could turn around, and you never know what Sather. You know, for every good move Sather pulls, you're waiting for the other shoe to drop. You know,
right?
And the next opportunity for him to make some pronouncement in a press. You know, an oppressor about the best XYZ in the game or some shit. But, I wonder what your reaction is to that.
I don't know. I'm puzzled because at the beginning of the season, I felt like they weren't doing that. I mean, if they were truly going to become a youth-first team, Prosper never would have been signed. Todd White would have never been signed. I felt like now the injuries, and they've kindly figured that they actually can play with some of these young guys right now, is now maybe convince them or kind of push them to more of that philosophy. You know what? Maybe we'll just go with the young guys. And what can we do? We can't do worse than last year.
You're absolutely right, because if you think about it, the entire coaching staff, and they've said it, I mean, this is not like new news, Boyle was targeted for the AHL. He was headed to Connecticut. They were just, it was a matter of when they were going to cut him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They certainly did not, I don't think they expected Stepan to be what he is and stick the way he did. you know, I think they figured out maybe late in the season, but they weren't really sure, and it kind of happened in the preseason, what they really had in Prust. So there's three guys making the roster that they probably really didn't expect. And that's
Sauer
probably
made him as a seventh defenseman out of camp, too.
There you go. Another one. Exactly, Mandar. And then you've got so that kind of rendered White and some of these other guys, if you will, expendable. You know, they signed White for, you know, they got actually got White in a trade, you know, which was not a bad deal, okay, to get Brashear off the books. Whoever figured that would happen. You know, another. And Riss Miller, Piss Miller, or whatever it was. You know, I mean, you know, these were ones that you go, Darth say they're at it again. Holy cow, you know. And but it is surprising, and I think maybe you hit the nail on the head, Eddie, that they they kind of shocked themselves, and now they're going with it. I love it. I mean, like Jim said, this is a fun team to watch. And for the first time in I don't know how long, I'm actually going to a game tomorrow night.
Wow.
You meet up with Robbie?
I'm going to hit up the folks on Facebook and see who's going to be there and who I can meet in person and shake hands with. But, yeah, I mean, and it's a funny story. I'll give you the one-minute version. I'm in my office. I've got Blue Shirt Banner up on one of my screens. This guy I work with walks in. And he says, oh, and he sees the screen. He goes, you're a Ranger fan? I said, absolutely, big time. You know, been a long time. And he goes, really? He says, you know, on the boards and what have you? And I said, yeah, I do a fair amount, a little chatting, some writing, you know, this, that, and the other. He goes, wow. He says, how'd you like to go to a game? I'm looking at him like he's got four heads. He says, yeah, I'm a season ticket holder.
Oh.
I start to laugh. And he says, yeah, he says, I'll tell you what, he says, I've got a business meeting down in wherever the hell he's got to go, in wherever, someplace. He says, yeah, I got two tickets to the game. I'll send them to you for Tuesday night. I was like, you got to be kidding me. If you've got tickets, I'm going, man.
Nice.
Yeah, nice.
So very nice. Blue Shirt Banter got me the tickets.
Excellent.
Ah,
and
there you go.
I know Ava
3 days later.
Night.
Okay.
If you're friends with them on Facebook.
Okay.
So I know they'll be there, and there'll probably be a Cafe 31 before the game. So.
And 3 days later, they trade Roosevelt. So, you know, hey, the stars
the
are aligning.
The stars are falling into line.
So you're going to get to see. How do we pronounce this guy's first name? Wolchek? Is it?
No,
Volsky. Volchek Volsky.
Volchek Volsky. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Volchek Volsky. Okay. I can't wait to hear what is Sam going to do with that one?
W-W.
I don't know about Sam, but
yeah.
Ivan W squared.
Call him Ivan Putski.
Polish Hammer. That's what I should have called him. Polish Hammer.
All right, guys. I'm going to head inside. It's been a pleasure.
Till Wednesday.
We'll see you guys Wednesday night. DB, have fun at the game.
Absolutely will. Take care, fellas.
All right, guys.
Take care.
Have a good night.
Thanks,
good night.
Mandar. Thanks.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
No problem. Good night.
Good night.